welcome to Calvary Chapel. And happy Father's Day to all you fathers. Just want to say how thankful we are for all the dads, you know, and how sorry we are that we can't be together on this Father's Day. But we're praying for you, and we thank God for you, and we just pray that you'll be encouraged by the word today. You know, my message this morning is going to be kind of tailored towards a Father's Day message. But, you know, when we have a special sermon like this or a special message, it certainly always ministers to all of our hearts. And so I'm praying all of us have that heart to receive the word of God this morning. Just a few quick announcements. Just want to remind everybody, you know, because it's Father's Day, we're not having the Sunday barbecue after our service there, after our stream this morning. So I'm pretty sure everybody was communicated that. But if you were planning on coming, we're going to postpone it this particular Sunday because it is Father's Day. So spend time with your family, spend time with your dads, and let that be a special time. We will pick up again next Sunday after service, a Sunday barbecue. It'll be on the 28th. And then the following Saturday is July 4th, so we're going to do a church picnic. So in a sense, we're moving the barbecue from Sunday the 5th to Saturday the 4th. So if you make plans and you want to come out, if you got nothing else to do on your 4th of July, we'd love to have you come on out. I believe we're starting around 11 o'clock, 11 or 12 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken on that. We'll send out more clarifications on that, but we'd love to have you all. It's just this opportunity for us to fellowship, you know, to see each other and to be outside and to keep safe and allow the kids to play in the church pool. So it's been great over the last few weekends watching the kids have fun in that way. So just remember that. And certainly please visit our website. The events are all listed there. Again, we're minimizing most of the events that are offered right now in the church because of the place we're at, but we're still doing a midweek Bible study on Wednesday night. There's been people coming to the church property. We've been meeting in the house. We've been going through the book of Hebrews. And there's also been people that have been joining through Zoom. So it's just been such an amazing blessing to be able to connect in that way. So, you know, when we look for silver linings, when we look for the good that's come out of this, you know, we're able to minister to people that are in Texas. We're able to minister to Suzelle out in Haiti on our Wednesday night Bible study. California, there's a couple people tuning in California on a regular basis. So the Word of God is getting out, and that's what we're here for. Calvary Chapel is about getting the Word of God into the hearts and lives of people. Again, that we just don't know what it says, but we live what it says. And so we're going to be in Luke's Gospel, the 8th chapter. But before we get started in today's Bible study, I would just like to pray for all the dads. And so if you're listening right now and you're a dad, this prayer is for you. If you're watching and you're not a father, would you pray with me for your dad? Will you pray with me for a dad you know that has made a difference in your life? So let's go to the Lord and ask him to bless the fathers. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our Father, the faithful God, the one that is always there for us, the one that loves us, that is with us, that has good plans for us and has good thoughts towards us. Lord, you're a perfect example of a father. And I pray for all the dads right now that are watching, and even the dads in my life, the men that have poured their lives into mine. And I pray personally for my father, God, that you would bless these dads, that you would fill them with the Holy Spirit, that you would encourage them in the season of life that they're in, whether they're being encouraged right now, whether they're in a good place. Lord, just let them know how well pleased you are. If they're in a difficult spot, if their hearts are heavy, God, I pray that you would lift up their countenance. I pray that you would encourage them to stay the course, because they are of such value in our lives, of such value in our communities and in this world. To be the dads that lead their families, to be the dads that love their children and love others, to be the dads that have faith in their Savior, Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you would empower them with the Holy Spirit, fill them with the Holy Spirit, baptize them with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would be all around them, God, and that you would provide that you would speak into their lives, into their minds, Lord, the things that you want them to do with their families, the direction that you want them to go, Lord, that they would be dependent upon you, that they would know the Word of God in such a way that they're confident in the path that they are on. So God, we can't say enough how thankful we are for our fathers. And I know for some, Lord, that are listening right now, maybe their dad wasn't a perfect dad. But Lord, you tell us to honor our fathers and our mothers. And for this day, we honor the position of our fathers, not necessarily the performance, but Lord, we just pray blessings upon them, that they would represent you and that they would bless their families. We give you the glory, the honor, and praise for each and every dad. We thank you now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. And thank you all, you dads. Like I said, we're in Luke's Gospel, the 8th chapter. I've entitled today's message, The Source of Hope. The Source of Hope. Yes, it's a Father's Day message, but it's a message that speaks to all of us. It's certainly going to speak to the dads and how to raise their children and how to be impactful in their lives. It speaks to young men that are desiring to be a father one day and how they are to live and to where their source of hope comes. It also speaks to women who, you know, will see the role of their husbands taking that place of a father. So we look to the Bible to be our source. A young boy said this, Father's Day is a lot like Mother's Day. The only difference is the gifts aren't as expensive. And that's sad but true, isn't it? We certainly love to love on our moms on Mother's Day and bless them. Dads are different. I can remember growing up, my father, what do you want for your birthday? I don't want anything. What do you want for Christmas? Don't get me anything. Dads don't really need a lot. But my prayer this morning is, though we may not need a lot, that we would realize we definitely need the Lord. We definitely need God to be our source of hope. And for you this morning, Dad, I pray Jesus Christ is your source. That it's not your workplace, that it's not your boss, that it's not your business, that it's not anything else that your source of hope comes from. Success doesn't come from the things that you do. Success is those things that you are. That faith, that believer in Jesus Christ, that faith in God, that is really your source of hope. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I've always loved this area of text in Luke chapter 8, as there's a description of this father, his name is Jairus, and his daughter is sick and near death. And the heart of this father is to seek after help. And what I love about this father is that he seeks Jesus. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. You see, this father was in a place of great need. And maybe you're in a place of great need this morning. Maybe you're in a place where you're saying, how am I going to get the things in my life that I need? How am I going to love on my kids the way God calls me to love on them? How am I going to be able to nurture them and train them up in the world that we live in? So we live in some interesting days, and dads, and we need the encouragement of God. And for this father, for Jairus, his daughter is sick, nearing death. He's in a place of desperation. He's in a place of lack of hope, but he comes to Jesus. You see, any parent who has experienced and witnessed their children suffer know what Jairus is feeling right now. You know the pain. You know the hurt of wanting to be able to help your children, wanting to care for them. As parents, you have a responsibility to train up your kids. You have a responsibility to provide for your kids. You have a responsibility to guide your children in their lives. And when they're sick and when they're hurting, you hurt. And then that's what we see here. This, any parent who has seen a child sick understands exactly what Jairus is going through. See, it's a story of a father who loves his daughter and wants the best for her. And I so appreciate this father and the fact that he goes to Jesus for his help. And it's very interesting, it's very unique, because this young girl, Jairus was a leader, was a ruler of a synagogue, so he's Jewish. And he had great responsibility. Her father was somebody of importance. And so she knew that, and she witnessed that. She knew he was a very hardworking man. He was prominent in a society. And so she got to witness firsthand the characteristics of her own father. But this man had a great need. This man needed some help. And he goes to Jesus for help. I ask you this morning, in your time of greatest need, do you go to Jesus for help? Is he your first stop in your journey of getting the help that you need in your life? When it comes to making decisions, when it comes to, you know, finding peace in your heart, when it comes to guiding your life, I speak to you young people that are starting your lives and you're wondering what path you want to take and what journey and where you want to be and what you want to do. Do you seek Jesus? Or do we seek earthly wisdom? Do we seek after man's wisdom for direction? I can remember being a young boy in school and, you know, they sent us to the counselors to help talk through what we wanted to do and, you know, looked at our grades and looked at our gifts and looked at our talents and said, you know, you would fit good in this industry. I can remember that. And man, I was like, I think in my life, I wish I had God at that time in my life. I wish I was looking to the Lord to guide my steps. And I thank him for the call he has placed on my life to be a pastor, to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for that. But I wish I had known that early on in my life. You see, where is your source of hope? Where do you go when you have great need? There's nothing wrong with seeking godly wisdom. The Bible talks about that. But I would pray and I would hope the first place that you and I go when we have a question, when we have a concern, would be on our knees before God in prayer. Lord, help me with this, because that's what Jairus does. So look with me, Luke chapter 8, we'll pick up in verse 40. I'm going to read through the whole thing. Most of you know this story. It's actually two stories in one. But we'll pick up in verse 40 of Luke chapter 8, and it says this. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him, or thronged Jesus. Verse 43. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" In other words, everybody touched you. Verse 46, but Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out of me." And I'll submit to you, Jesus knew exactly who it was that touched him. Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the story of the woman with the flow of blood, but to me, it was a reminder to Jairus of the power of Christ. I believe Luke and the other Gospels place this here because it was something that Jairus needed to witness. He needed to witness the power of Christ. He needed to witness the faith in this woman because he was going to need that same faith. Look what we read, verse 49. While he was still speaking, Jesus, to the woman, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him and said, "Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well." When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Would you pray one more time with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this powerful area of text, because it reminds us of our faith that is needed in you. And I pray, God, for all of us, fathers, mothers, parents, children, God, that we would have the faith to believe that you can change our circumstances. So bless us as we look at your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So in this story, this father named Jairus comes to Jesus. And to me, that's the first thing we need to look at in our lives and in this story. That when Jairus had this great need in his life, he goes to Jesus. He seeks Jesus for help. And that's the first thing when it comes to the source of our hope, is that we seek Jesus for our help. Are you right now seeking Jesus for your help in your life? There's got to be something going on in your life. There's got to be something that you're struggling with. It may be the pandemic. It may be finances. It may be a relationship. It could be anything. And are you first going to Jesus for your help? Again, Jairus was the ruler of a synagogue. He was to supervise the synagogue worship. He was the one that planned the worship service. He was the one that invited someone to come and to read scripture. He was the one that would invite someone to come and share a message. So he was involved in the worship in the synagogue. Again, well known, highly esteemed, very religious, and many believe even a Pharisee. And why is that so important? Because Jesus' greatest enemies were Pharisees. So it would be interesting for a Pharisee to seek after Jesus for his help, to seek after Jesus for his hope. Pharisees wouldn't do that. They hated Jesus. Excuse me. But this father was desperate. And sometimes when we get to the place of, excuse me, of desperation, we've got to go somewhere. And we've got to seek after Jesus. And so this father abandoned his position. He abandoned his role. He abandoned his esteem. He abandoned his position. He didn't care what other people thought, because right now this man was a father who had a daughter that was dying. And there's no doubt in my mind that Jairus had heard of this man named Jesus, this man who rose people from the dead, this man who healed the blind, this man that restored hope in people's lives, that cleansed lepers, right? And so Jairus is like, I need Jesus to help me. And I got to be honest with you. I don't always seek Jesus first. I seek my own strength. I seek my own resource. I seek friends. I seek other pastors. I seek, you know, anyone in my life. Why is it we don't seek Jesus first? A lot of times, I believe, is number one, we maybe think he won't be able to do anything for us. Maybe he can't, we think he can't help, but he can help. Jesus can change your circumstances. And even for this father, who after the fact finds out his daughter is already dead, still brings Jesus to his house. That's faith. He sought after Jesus, the only one who could help him. And sometimes in my life and in your life, Jesus is the only answer. Jesus is the only one that can help. And he's the one we must go to. You see, this shows us that this man didn't let anything stop him or hinder him from getting to Christ. May we learn this lesson, that there's nothing that stops us from going to Jesus. Who cares what people think? Let people know you're relying on God. Let people know you're relying on Christ for your career. You're relying on Christ for your family. You're relying on Christ in your business, whatever it might be, that you are relying on Jesus. And again, the story of the woman of the flow of blood, to me, made Jairus go, wow. Jesus didn't have to do anything, and he healed this old woman. Because of her faith. And I have to believe that in Jairus' mind, he's like, I just need to believe. With everything inside him that probably wanted to doubt, with everything inside him that wanted him to think nothing, Jesus wasn't going to be able to do anything, he still needed that hope to believe he could. He still had to believe that Jesus could do it. See, I believe it's pain in our life, it's struggles in our life, it's trials in our life that draw us closer to God. So in some ways, you need to embrace your difficulties and believe that God is going to use that difficulty to reveal something in him, to reveal something to you about him. We have to seek Christ in our time of need. This ruler of the synagogue set aside pride, set aside prejudice, and sought after Jesus. It's so important. In fact, in Matthew's gospel, it says even stronger that Jairus didn't just come to Jesus and bow down to him. It says that he even worshiped Jesus. That's that position. You know, the Bible says, come to me. The Bible says, come to me and bow down in prayer. Bow down in praise. In order to praise God, we need to come humbly before God. Jairus came and worshiped Jesus because he believed in his soul that Jesus was his answer. Don't be ashamed of your relationship to Christ. Don't be ashamed of the things that God wants to do in your life. Let that be an opportunity of testimony to be able to share with others. Seek Jesus first, no matter what. Don't let anything hinder you. Don't let anyone hinder you from getting to Christ. Now, I speak specifically to fathers right now. That your job as a dad, your job as a husband, your job is to be the head of your household. Your job is to be leading your family. And I ask you, where are you getting your direction from? Are you seeking after Jesus? Do you put more confidence in the Word of God, in the truth of God, in your faith in God, than you do in your career, in your business, in your paycheck? Because he is the source. As a spiritual leader, you're leading your families. Is God a priority in your life? See, we can all invite God into our circumstances after the fact. We can try other things. We can seek other things and then eventually come to a place of God and relying on God. But Jairus wanted to go to Jesus first. And I think that's what we should do as the spiritual leaders of our homes, is to seek after God first. God's word is true. God's word is powerful. God's word will guide and direct your life. So when we read texts like this, we should be encouraged in what God can do in you and in me. We all know the scriptures in Ephesians chapter 6, how it speaks of husbands loving your wives, wives submitting to your husbands, respecting your husbands, and how children are supposed to honor their father and mother. But when it comes to dealing with children, it's interesting to me that in Ephesians chapter 6, it speaks only to fathers. It speaks only to fathers. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. It says this, and you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. It's just so interesting to me that the Apostle Paul, writing to husbands, writing to wives, writing to children, writing to bondservants, and then he says, but you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up. Bring them up. Raise them. Fathers are supposed to have an integral part in their children's lives. It's not just left to the moms. Now, moms have a huge role in children's lives. I'm not discounting that. God has called moms to nurture their children. But here we also see that the father's role is very important. And that, Dad, you're supposed to be involved in your children's lives. And not just in the fun stuff, not just in sporting events, not just in, you know, but to truly be there from the beginning. I'm one of those individuals that is so blessed that my father was involved in my life. That my father, from every memory that I have, I just texted my dad this morning, Happy Father's Day, thank you for being involved in my life. He was always there. And I know that's not the case for everyone. But if you're a dad, be involved in your children's lives. Make a difference, make an impact. Because here, the reason, again, you're the head of the household, so you're supposed to be instructing your children. So number one, a child's view of God has a lot to do with their relationship with their father. So if you're a good dad, they're going to have a good understanding, a good connection to God. If you're a bad father, they might think of God that way. See, it's dependent because we call God our heavenly father. And so it's very easy for us to look to our earthly father and say, well, that must be how God is. So I was blessed to have a father who loved me. I have a father that was always in the home and I was always home for dinner. So when I think of God, I think of God in that context. And for some that are on in the service right now, for some of you, your father was absent. Your father wasn't there, or you had a bad father, or you had an abusive father. Don't let your earthly father dictate how you see your heavenly father. It's so important. Yes, we're to honor our fathers and mothers. That's what God tells us to do. But that doesn't mean they're perfect. No father is perfect. Only our Heavenly Father is perfect. So number one, a child has connects their relationship to God based on their earthly father. So if you're a dad, be a loving dad, be a caring dad, be a present dad. Be a dad that's there for your kids. Number two, your daughters are going to grow up and marry someday. And they have to have a good example of a godly father, a godly man that they're going to marry. So children look to God based on the relationship with you, but your daughters are looking to you to be that example, that they would seek after someone that is as godly as you. And finally, your sons, they need to know what dad means. They need to know what it means to be a dad. To be a dad that is dependent upon God. Because in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, but raise them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Your responsibility is to teach your kids about God. Teach your children about the Lord. Let them see you being dependent upon God. Let them see you seeking after God for answers in your life. See, it's one thing to bring your Bible to church on Sunday. But if it just sits on the table Monday through Saturday, if it never gets opened again throughout the week, what message does that teach? It teaches your children, okay, the Bible's important on Sundays, but not the rest of the week. Let them see you read your Bible. Let them see you speaking the Bible into their lives. Be active. Be involved in your children's lives. Don't just leave it up to your wife. Don't just leave it up to their mother. Be a part of their lives. In verse 49, it says this, while Jesus was still speaking, when someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. When I read this verse, I'm reminded of how insufficient sometimes counsel from another person can be. See, though Jairus may have had faith that Jesus could make a difference, he certainly believed that Jesus could heal his daughter of sickness, which must have been very severe, point of death. But his friends who come, they didn't believe. They didn't believe that Jesus could do it. Hey, your daughter's dead. Don't bother the teacher. Can you imagine if Jairus listened to their counsel? Can you imagine if Jairus paid attention to that? And maybe he would have. Maybe he was actually thinking the same thing. But look at verse 50. But when Jesus heard it and answered him, saying, do not be afraid, only believe. So the next thing that we have to understand, not only do we seek Jesus for our help, we need to invite Jesus into our homes. Because it says in verse 51, when he came into the house, again, verse 41, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet, that's where he worshiped him, and begged him to come to his house. Your source of hope is having Jesus in your home, seeking him for direction, seeking him for insight, seeking him for direction in your life, but also inviting him into the home, making sure that Jesus is in the center of the home. Every time I officiate a wedding, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. That means putting Jesus in the center of your relationship, and how important it is to put Jesus in the center of your family. To invite Jesus into your home. Let your kids see you reading the Word of God. Let your kids see your dependence upon God. And I would submit, let your kids see your struggle with seeking after God. Because they're going to come to a time in their lives where they're going to struggle as well. But be real with your kids. Show them the good, the bad, and the indifferent. Show them what it means to have a relationship with God. That sometimes we don't understand what God's doing. Sometimes we don't understand why he's allowing things to happen in our lives. Let them see that. Invite them into the home. I think it's Matthew's gospel that actually says that when Jairus came to Jesus, his daughter was already dead. In fact, it says Matthew says this, that knowing that his daughter is now dead, he goes to Jesus and says this, come to my house and lay your hand on her and she will be made well. Matthew's gospel makes it seem as though Jairus believes she's dead. And he still says, Jesus, you need to come to my house. He still believes Jesus has an amazing ability and power, because I believe he's heard it before, that he's raised people from the dead. He says, just come, lay your hands upon my daughter, and she will be made well. Think about that for a minute as you think about your children. To think about the fact that you say, Jesus, come to my house, lay your hands on my kids, that they may do well in school, that they will do well in the neighborhood, that they will do well around their friends, that they will do well in this community, in this world that you've put them in. Think about doing that, inviting Jesus into their lives and showing them Jesus in your life. That's only by bringing Jesus into the home. And not just during big decisions, not just during difficult times, all times. You know, I say it all the time and it seems very simple, but praying over a meal is inviting God to be involved. Praying over the food, saying, God, thank you for this provision in our lives, teaches your kids that God provides. God, please bless this food to our bodies, give us strength, means you're showing your kids that you're relying upon God to be your strength. It's simple as that, praying over a meal. Listen, I know there are believers that have a hard time praying out loud. But let me encourage you in this. Better to pray a short, simple prayer in practicing to pray than to not pray at all. There is nothing wrong with praying those, what many of us call those Nehemiah prayers, those short prayers. Prayer of Jabez, right? It's short. Lord, be with me. Lord, keep me safe. Lord, do a work in my life. I mean, it can be that simple. Lord, thank you for this day. I love you. Be with me. In Jesus' name, start somewhere. The more you put it off, the more you're going to delay. Invite God into your life. Invite Jesus into your home. Be involved. This father had incredible faith in Jesus to believe that if he just laid hands on his daughter, she would be made well. And I love the fact that in Luke's gospel, that Jesus overhears the conversation of his friends telling him, your daughter's dead. And he looks to him and says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just believe. And again, as Jesus is saying this, I can't help but think in the back of Jairus' mind, he has to be thinking, this woman with a flow of blood just touched his hem of his garment, and she was made well. And real briefly, real quickly, a woman with a flow of blood was considered unclean. And so the reason she hid herself from Jesus, and she didn't say, I was the one that touched your garment, is because in her mind, if someone with a flow of blood touches someone, they make that person unclean. But here's the wonderful picture. No one can make Jesus unclean because he is all holy. But his holiness can cleanse you. His righteousness can cleanse you. His blood will cleanse you. That's the power. You might feel dirty. You might feel unclean. But when you come into the presence of God, when you invite him into your heart and into your home, you're asking him to cleanse you. You're asking him to wash you. Talk about a source of hope. That bringing Jesus closer to you will bring holiness and righteousness in your life. That's what you need to be teaching your kids. Invite Jesus into your home. Invite Jesus and teach your kids to invite Jesus into their life. Your kids need their own faith. Your kids cannot rely upon your faith. They can only witness your faith and hopefully model after it. That's the truth. See, inviting Jesus into your home doesn't mean putting a picture of him on the wall. I can remember growing up as a kid, I can distinctly remember that very traditional picture of Jesus hanging on our wall. But yet I don't ever remember Jesus in my home. How I wish Jesus was in our home growing up. I had a great upbringing. I can't complain at all. I had a wonderful family, wonderful parents. Our family was amazing. But we lacked the power of God. We lacked the presence of Christ. We lacked the Word of God. And though there were opportunities through my life to come into a relationship with Jesus, it never seemed to make a connection for me. Not until later in my life when I finally surrendered my life to God. Don't let your family down. Let them see Christ in you. Let them see Jesus in your home. That's incredible faith. You know, in Exodus, the 10th plague was the angel of death was going to pass through all of Egypt. And anyone who didn't have blood over the lintels of their home, the first child would be taken. They'd lose their life. Interestingly enough, it was the father's responsibility to be the one that dipped the hyssop into blood and to paint the lintels of the home. It was the father's responsibility to protect their children. It was the father's responsibility by faith to do what God said in obedience, and the angel of death would pass over. It is dad's responsibility to be the covering and protector of their families. Are you protecting your children? Are you covering them in prayer? Are you covering them in the presence of God? This is what we need in this world. We don't need more prisons. We don't need more institutions. We need God in our hearts. We need God in our homes. We need God in our community. That's what this world needs, is God. Invite Christ into your home. Seek him every single day for everything in your life. Let that become a habit. Let that become a tradition in your home that you seek after God. That's the thing he wants. Fathers, there's an angel of death passing through your living rooms and your homes. It is your responsibility to protect your kids. whatever they're watching on TV, whatever they're seeing on their computers, or even in their on their cell phones. The enemy can use that. The enemy can get in. You need to be mindful. You need to watch your children's behavior. You need to watch what they're doing. Pay attention. Again, that's not your wife's responsibility. That's not mom's responsibility. It's your responsibility as well to make a difference. Martin Luther said this. He said, "You can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you can certainly stop them from building a nest in your hair." And the thing I like about this quote is that, listen, the enemy wants to destroy your home. And the enemy's there. The enemy's always going to be there. He's always going to be trying to get in. But it's your responsibility to make sure that he's not nesting in your home. Because that's what he wants to do. He wants to get in there. He wants to take up residence. He wants to become a part of your family and cause depression and discouragement and division. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your relationship with your kids. Don't let him nest in your home. Fight against that. Bring in the presence of the Holy Spirit and the enemy will flee. The Bible says if we would stand against the wiles of the devil, he will flee because of what Christ has done in our lives. So not only are we supposed to seek Jesus for help, not only are we to invite him into our homes, the last and final thing is to trust Jesus with your life. Again, in verse 50. "But when Jesus heard it, he answered and said to him, 'Do not be afraid, only believe.'" So Jesus was looking at this father who had just heard this bad news that his daughter had just passed away and how devastating that news must have been. And he looks at him, he says, "Don't be afraid, believe." Jesus is not done. Death has no more sting for the believer. Jesus is still at work. Jesus is still present, and there's still more he can do. And that's the truth in your life today, that Jesus can still make a difference. You might say it's an impossibility. It's too hard. Nothing's too hard for God. He can do it. Maybe Jesus is saying to you this morning, "Don't be afraid, only believe." Only believe, faith. Just like the faith of the old woman who touched the hem of his garment and was healed. Jesus is saying to Jairus, "Believe, Jairus." And actually this word that he's telling him, he's saying, it's a command. Don't be afraid, only believe. He is telling Jairus, he's commanding Jairus to believe. And the text of the verb is actually continue to believe. So believe that Jesus can and continue to believe that Jesus can. That's where many of us fall short. We believe Jesus can, but then we find doubt. We believe Jesus can do it, but then we stop believing. Well, he hasn't done it yet. Well, it doesn't mean he's not going to do it. Jairus had to exercise his faith in this moment to believe what Jesus just said. He said, "Don't be afraid." How fearful must it have been for Jairus to hear that news? I can remember when I heard the news that my brother passed away. And as much as that hurt me, and much as that burdened my heart, and much pained me to know that my brother, my younger brother, passed on, the first thing that came into my mind was, how must my mom and dad be taking this? How hard is it for a parent to hear those words, "Your child has died"? My heart hurt for my parents for that news. It hurt me too, but I was more concerned about what it was experiencing for them, because no parent should have to bury their child. No parent should have to witness the death of their child. And I know people that have experienced death of their children, and I can't even imagine the pain. I've had loss in my life, but I've never lost a child. I've never lost something that I had responsibility in. I had a part in nurturing that life. I can't even imagine the pain. I've been praying for a young boy. We're friends of a couple in our church who got into an accident. A young boy, 6 years old, and had a concussion. And he's on the mend. He's recovering. It's very slow. But the faith of the mom and dad, it blows me away. It blows me away. They're trusting in Jesus. And that's it. They're trusting Jesus with their life. And that's the third and final thing, that we're to trust Jesus with our life. We're to seek him. We're to invite him into our homes. But then we got to trust him. We got to trust him to do what he wants to do. We got to trust and believe that he can change our circumstances. That's what it was for Jairus. Don't be afraid, only believe. And sometimes in life, that's all we can do is only believe. Sometimes that's all we can do is just believe in Jesus, to be faithful, to believe and keep on believing. Who is it? His name is Eugene Peterson said this, long obedience in the same direction. That's faith. That's believing in Jesus. Long obedience in the same direction. It means believe and keep on believing. It means be a faithful follower of Christ and don't stop being a faithful follower of Christ, even when things get difficult. Even when it feels like nothing's going to fix this problem. Long obedience in the same direction, the direction of God, the direction of Christ. Nurturing and enhancing your faith on a daily basis. That's what we got to do. We got to leave a legacy for our children. I think about the parents, my mom and dad certainly, but the parents of my friends, the parents in my life that poured into me, the faithfulness that they showed to me. And I think about the faithful moms and dads in my life that are doing life with Christ at the center. I know fathers in our church that pray for their kids constantly, that one day they would accept Christ as their believer, as their Savior. Are you praying that for your children? Are you asking God to protect your kids? Are you asking God to bless your kids, to raise them up, to use them, to let them make an impact in their around their friends? I mean, how wonderful would it be to see your children leading another friend to Christ? How amazing would it be to see your children, you know, reminding you that, hey, we should pray about that. So be praying for your kids. Be praying that God would use them. Be praying God protects them. Exercise your faith. Don't be afraid, only believe. Long obedience in the same direction. What a legacy to look back on your life and to see, yep, there were tough times. Yep, I got things right every now and again. Yep, I saw God every step of the way. See, God is always there. Your Heavenly Father, my Heavenly Father, is always there. It's our job to listen to his voice, to be obedient to his instructions, and try and make a difference in another person's life. Trust Jesus with your life. I close with this. A father wisely said this, 100 years from now, it will not matter what my bank account was, what sort of house I lived in, or what kind of car I drove, but the world may be different because I was important in the life of my child. What a wise father. What a wise dad. To know where the important thing was, where his source of help came from God. Not his stuff, not his things, not how successful he was, but how much he poured into the life of his children. How wonderful would it be for your kids one day to give testimony and say, my dad, he loved me. My dad, he cared for me. My dad was there for me. Now I want to be that kind of dad for my kids. Leave a legacy for your children, a godly legacy, a legacy that invites Christ into the home, a legacy that seeks after the Lord, and a legacy that trusts God with your life. My prayer for all of us is that we would be in the center of God's will every single day. Let your light shine brightly in your family's life and be encouraged that he's going to get the glory. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this father in our text, Jairus. We thank you for the challenges and the emotions that he must have gone through, and we identify with those emotions. Sometimes we have amazing faith in you, God. Other times we doubt that you will do anything. God, we pray that every father, every mother, every person would look at this story and that their faith and belief in Christ would increase. That we wouldn't be afraid, but that we would believe. So I ask blessings upon this day. Whatever anyone has plans, keep them safe. Let them have fun. Let them celebrate their father. And I pray for the dads again, that you would give them peace and that you would fill them with your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.